Well, firstly, thank you very much for the invitation to come and speak at this event. It was, it's always really nice to get invitations like that. And I was absolutely amazed. I've been saying this evening when I read the email, and it was sort of 80 to 100 people would be turning up for a BizTalk user group event. And I have to say, you know, I've never been to a BizTalk user group event in the UK, but I'm sure that 80 to 100 people would not turn up. So I'm really impressed at just the interest and the commitment turning out this evening. And I hope that what we have to go through this evening will be of some use and some interest to you. So let me introduce myself very briefly. Can you hear me at the back? I'm afraid I don't speak a word of Swedish, okay? I apologise for that, so I hope everyone can understand my English. If I'm talking too fast or you're having problems, do please just let me know and I will attempt to speak a little slower or whatever is needed. So my name is Charles Young. I am from the United Kingdom of Great Britain, and I'm a consultant working for a software company, a Microsoft Gold partner. Don't worry, this won't be a commercial. But we're a Microsoft Gold partner, and we specialize in business process management and integration on the Microsoft platform, which is a very long-winded way of saying that we've been doing BizTalk for several years. We kind of go beyond BizTalk these days, but that's the situation. I've been there for a few years, and as I say, work as a principal consultant. So very involved in architectural design and implementation, mainly of BizTalk solutions. And the challenge that was set for me for this event was to talk about the 10 most useful orchestration patterns, orchestration obviously being a part of BizTalk. And I'm assuming that being a BizTalk users group, that pretty much everyone in the room will have a degree of knowledge about BizTalk. I'm sure there's a real spectrum here. Some people, I'm sure, are real experts, probably been doing it longer than I have, maybe. And other people will probably be fairly new to the product and sort of trying to find out more about it, I would imagine. I don't know where people are coming from, but so hopefully we'll be able to cater for sort of a number of different people in terms of what we go through. But I have to say it was a challenge because the sort of questions that came up in my mind thinking about this evening and what am I going to do is, well, can I think up 10 patterns? You know, do I have 10 useful patterns that I can actually come up with, and what's that going to look like? And who's going to say that they're actually useful patterns, you know, at the end of the day? Maybe I think they're useful, but can I prove that? Do I have any sort of evidence of that? I think the answer to that, the evidence is in the usage, and all I can work on is the experience of doing BizTalk. What if I only have 6 patterns? Will people be asking for their money back? don't want to put ideas in your head. What if I have 60 patterns? You know, how am I going to make that fit into the evening? And what about anti-patterns? Because no talk about patterns is complete without a discussion of anti-patterns, for goodness sake. And surely, they don't just want another seminar about convoys. Guess what I'm going to have as part of this evening? We will talk about convoys, of course, because they are really genuinely useful. But surely not just another seminar about convoys. Oh, and scatter gatherer and whatever it may be. So, in a sense, I've kind of thrown away part of the title, the bit that says 10, yeah? So I haven't thrown away the rest of it, but I'm not going to be held to exactly 10 nice, neat patterns. And instead, the only way I felt I could deal with this was really just talking about generally the kind of things that I find useful within orchestration and use again and again, especially when addressing the harder problems and the more difficult issues and the places where you press the button and it just refuses to compile. So it's just a meander, a wander through the mind of Charles Young, I guess, in terms of all of that. And in fact, before I even get onto patterns, I want to really start in the first part of this evening talking a little bit just about orchestration generally and putting it in some context. And just saying a few things about that, I want to address the question, what are orchestrations anyway? And just say a few things about that before we really get underway. Yes, I will be talking about convoys. Of course I'll be talking about convoys. They're very, very important. I'll be talking about common techniques for hard problems. I'm going to be talking a little bit about mapping of models to implementation. I haven't really got anything too much on modelling within my slides, but maybe with Microsoft's focus on Oslo, we may say a few things about that. Some stuff about dynamic approaches. I was with a group this evening. I know some people are here from a training course, and we were saying some aspects about dynamic approaches in BizTalk earlier this afternoon. And finish off with a bit about building the service bus. So quite a varied sort of course through this, but I hope that it will make some reasonable sense. So let me start off firstly with what is a pattern. And I probably don't need to spend any time answering this question. I think the most of us will be very useful with very used to the concept of patterns, Gang of Four patterns, enterprise integration patterns, etc. Patterns, a normative example, something worthy of imitation, something used as a guide, a model, a prototype of a design that we plan to implement. Very simple and straightforward. And in the same way, what is an orchestration? And in many ways, this is really the title of the next section of slides. What is an orchestration? Well, what else can you do in a set of slides than go to Wikipedia, that fount of all knowledge and truth, and ask Wikipedia. Wikipedia says that an orchestration is this, an automated arrangement, coordination, management of complex computer systems, middleware and services. Well, okay, all right, if that's what Wikipedia says, not quite what we mean by orchestration. We sort of mean a bit of that, but all this management of complex computer systems is perhaps a little bit beyond where we're at. Here's an attempt at something a little bit more... Sorry, can you see the slides? People straining there. A little bit more in line, perhaps, with what we're talking about in BizTalk. A type of collaboration in which primary service directly invokes other services. So it's something about, you know, one service doing stuff with other services. And perhaps that's a little bit more useful. But really, that doesn't sort of quite answer my questions. What is an orchestration? Is orchestration just about enterprise integration patterns? I would imagine, being a room full of BizTalk people, many of you have visited this particular website or read the book. A very well-known book on enterprise integration patterns, and it lists all kinds of patterns. We've got a few of them here. Some of you, I would imagine, who knows this book? Yeah, of course, yes. So perhaps about a third of the hands go up. I'm surprised there wasn't more people. Very well-known book on integration enterprise patterns. And perhaps more importantly, a whole lot of patterns here which are well-known. We've got splitters and aggregators and, oh dear, scatter-gatherers and all kinds of things there going on there down the side. Is orchestration just about this? No, very definitely not. Orchestration is not just simply a matter of integration patterns. We use orchestration inside an integration tool, and therefore these patterns are very important with regards to what we're talking about. But if all I did this evening was go through these patterns, I would just be talking about integration patterns, nothing specifically to do with orchestration. And frankly, if I hear scatter-gatherer one more time, you know, I will pull my hair out. The reason I wrote this was because we've been talking to some people in Microsoft, having conversations with them about Oslo and modelling and talking about BizTalk patterns generally. And in the conversation all the time, people just kept on talking about scatter-gatherer because it was the only thing they could think of to talk about that sounded like a pattern. So am I sure that orchestrations are not to do with what we've just had on the board? Well, yes, as I say, orchestrations are there to implement integration patterns within the context of BizTalk. It's a very important part of what orchestrations are used for. If I seriously take scatter-gatherer, the idea where you send a send message out to lots of recipients and then gather up the responses and process them, perhaps hand back a single response. If I take that as a pattern, well, any of you who've used BizTalk will probably immediately realize that an orchestration is a great way of implementing that pattern. So these patterns, integration patterns, have a lot to do with orchestrations, but somehow it doesn't get to the root of what orchestration is about. And it's not really what I want to talk about this evening. So orchestrations implement these patterns, but they have a more fundamental purpose. And very simply, the fundamental purpose of an orchestration is simply to coordinate, to synchronize, to manage, to orchestrate. That's what it does. Very simple and straightforward. And it's really in that sort of area that we need to understand what orchestration patterns are all about. And once we understand that, we can then more effectively use orchestration to implement our integration patterns. So as a way into all of this about, you know, what are orchestrations and how do we understand them from a pattern perspective, I wanted to raise an old debate. Some of you will have come across this debate before. It's that wonderful old debate about what is the difference between orchestration and choreography. Has anyone got any very sort of strong feelings about this or engaged in this? Anyone aware of this argument, or is it just me? This was an argument which raged a couple of years ago. Not really. Anyone heard of choreography? No, you're all on the Microsoft platform. If you were Java developers, you'd all know about choreography. Okay, fair enough. So choreography is a word that is used, because I wasn't getting very much recognition there. Choreography is a word which is used very similarly to orchestration. Not so much in our world, the world of BizTalk. It's sort of not part of the BizTalk culture somehow. We talk about orchestrations. But this word is used very widely in other places. And I'm sure that, although I wasn't getting much response there, or apparent recognition, I'm sure that some of you are very well aware of this term. And there have been real debates over the years about what is the difference between orchestration and choreography. And I thought, oh yes, people would be going, oh yes, yes, go on, Charles, tell us about the difference. Some people say that these terms are synonyms. I have got a reason for going through this, so bear with me. Some people say that they are synonyms, that they mean the same thing, that they're just two words that you can use, and they mean exactly the same thing. Other people say that they're not. They're really opposites. They're antonyms, and they mean quite opposite things. And the people who say that normally say, well, orchestration is all about centralized control. That sounds about right, doesn't it? You build an orchestration, and it orchestrates things. Normally, these people will start talking about conductors of orchestras, which is not really what orchestration means, but anyway. And they'll say, yes, and the conductor stands there, and he conducts his orchestra, and he sort of makes them do things, which is not really what a conductor does at all. He just sort of synchronizes everything. But that's what people say. And then they say, well, choreography is about sort of distributed collaboration between autonomous agents that obey some kind of protocol and collaborate together to get some work done. And that's choreography, like a bunch of dancers who are all doing their own thing, but sort of together. And they all kind of circle around each other and present a dance. So that's the idea there. So people say this, and they say, well, they're actually very different things. Process versus protocol, except isn't a process really just kind of another kind of protocol? There is one self-evident truth in this debate, which clearly has meant a lot to me over the years, but not necessarily to everyone else in the room, and that is that this term, orchestration, is just not as cool as the term choreography. You see, we should all have been Java developers. We all went wrong. But we're dealing with this, and that's about the one thing that we can definitely say. But I wanted to raise this issue because I think it helps us to sort of understand what we mean when we talk about an orchestration, why we use the term. If we understand that, we can really begin to think about patterns around orchestration. So here's my view on it, my view. And as I say, it has been a controversial debate before now. Orchestration, a constrained viewpoint. Orchestration is a constrained point of view. It's got a sort of limited, if you like, we purposely take on a set of blinkers when we think about, you know, like horse blinkers, when we're thinking about orchestration. constrained because we concentrate on discrete bits of functionality that do stuff for us, which we might otherwise call services. Because we tend to think in a centralized fashion, controlling orchestrations that deal with other stuff and manage the process flow by sending and receiving messages to other services and systems. We tend to think of orchestration as process-centric, so not so much a sort of collaborative situation, but again a management of an overall process, and very imperative, like the orchestration orders other things what to do, that kind of idea. This is the sort of viewpoint that we naturally adopt when we're talking about orchestration. And as a conceptual model, it's great. It maps very well to one of the patterns in that book and website that I mentioned, process manager. It didn't say process manager there. I thought it did. But anyway, it maps directly to that idea of the process manager, the controller of process, of automated process. Well, that's fine. And I suppose I'm really stating the obvious for anyone who's used orchestration. Choreography is an expansive viewpoint. It kind of puts its head over the parapet and looks at the system as a whole. That's really what it's all about. And it sees a system not in terms of discrete pieces of functionality, but more in terms of the collaboration between different agents, autonomous or semi-autonomous agents that collaborate between themselves to get some work done. So it's really looking at a system in the sense of a distributed system, distributed functionality. It is whatever the difference between process and protocol is. It's protocol orientated because it concentrates on the sort of agreed contracts and the way in which and the patterns of interaction between those different agents. And that's what the word is actually really getting at and looking at. And that conceptually maps to, of course, decoupled integration between different services in a service-orientated environment. So why am I telling you all of this? Well, the first thing just to make the point is then that orchestration and choreography are neither synonyms nor antonyms, really. They kind of just blend into one, ultimately, and they kind of imply each other. Orchestrations control interactions between services. That's why they're called orchestrations. But the point about this, and one of the points to take away, and just to get absolutely firm in your mind, is that orchestrations may control services, but they are, of course, themselves services. That's why when an orchestration encounters a problem and something gets suspended in your BizTalk message box and you go to look at it in your administrative console, it talks about a service instance in there, as well as the messages associated with that service instance. The orchestration is a service. One thing just to say in passing, one of the features of BizTalk is that that service is not directly exposed to the outside world. And I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes. If you built a service in WCF, it's exposed to whoever can see that. But within BizTalk, you always have to go through other layers. Of course, the message box, and beyond that, send and receive ports before you get to that particular service. But make no mistake, it is a service, and it plugs into an internal service bus that BizTalk provides. That's how it's constructed, that's how it works, and that's the right way of thinking of an orchestration. So if it's a service, then you can choreograph your orchestrations. Yeah? Makes sense, doesn't it, really? If it's just another service, you can orchestrate your orchestrations. You can orchestrate parts of your choreography. You can play word games as much as you want to with the two words orchestration and choreography. So why am I telling you all of this? What is an orchestration? It may seem that I'm sort of going over, 101, I think the Americans say, basics of what this is all about. But I want to get this point across so I can begin to pull things out of it. An orchestration is a service. More specifically, it's a style or type of service in a very general, rather abstract way. When we talk about an orchestration, we're talking about a style or type of service that broadly complies with the idea of a process manager. As I say, one of the EAI patterns. That's what an orchestration is all about, a process management service. But also, and equally important from our point of view, we're not just talking about the abstract concept of orchestration, we're talking about BizTalk orchestration. We're talking about orchestrations which are actually pieces of code which run in the BizTalk environment and in that context of BizTalk. What is the context? Well, something I'm going to be boring you with over the next half hour or so. The context is the BizTalk message box. I'll say more about that as we go through this. It's the BizTalk message box. And what does an orchestration provide? All kinds of goodies there. I've got a few there, stuff that we're familiar with, correlations, transactions, compensation, all those kind of things. One of the reasons I have for starting this way before we get on to patterns is I wanted to raise the whole subject, and we've already been talking about it earlier on today another group, some of whom are here tonight. What is the difference then between BizTalk and other ways of creating services? Why not use web services? Why use BizTalk if all an orchestration is a style of service? Why not just create a service using ASMX or WCF, of course, these days? Why not just use web services? And, of course, once it was really easy to sort of explain why you might want to use BizTalk orchestration rather than build your own web service. Because we could say, well, you know, BizTalk has all those goodies. It's got compensation and transaction, and it understands this and it understands that, and it's long-running, blah-de-blah, and scoped this and whatever it may be. Yeah. Oh, and it's got a lovely graphical designer as well that you can use, and isn't that wonderful? And so much better than writing all that boring code, and it wouldn't be multi-threaded, and it wouldn't be this, and it wouldn't be that if you were just writing it in ASMX. Trouble is that we now live in a changed world, a world where Microsoft have introduced some really important core technologies, WCF and WebF. I'm going to call it WebF, I'm afraid. I don't know whether, sometimes I get told off in the UK for calling it WebF. I don't know whether that plays out here in Sweden, but it's very American. But anyway, there we go. So once it was easy to decide, WCF and WebF kind of changed that. And a lot of the things you think about in orchestration are kind of, well, we've got other technology now. You know, we've got that graphical designer. We've got functionality that understands compensations and, you know, whatever it may be, and transactions, etc. Orchestrations, of course, still have several distinctive characteristics and things that we need to talk about. I'm not saying that all of these are distinctive with regards to WCF and WebF, because WCF and WebF is also scalable and could also, you know, sort of obviously deal with multi-threaded issues. But orchestrations are service-orientated, of course. They are also, and another really important point I'm going to stress this evening, message-based and message-orientated as well. I'll come back to that. Obviously, not so much are orchestrations scalable and multi-threaded, but they live in a robust host environment that is designed to scale our orchestrations and other parts of our BizTalk applications, hopefully to the extent we need them to scale for addressing real problems in the real world. Of course, they've got all these advanced features. An important point, I think, just to notice that BizTalk, at least within its own domain, gives us the beginnings of a sense of single-point administration. Now, unfortunately, BizTalk today cannot administer an entire enterprise solution because it only understands its own artifacts, its own bits and pieces, its endpoints, its orchestrations, and other resources. But we begin to get that idea of single-point administration across an entire entire application. And of course, as I was saying, the graphical designers, orchestrations are created really using a form of model-driven development. It wasn't called that when BizTalk first shipped, but Microsoft now use that term to a great degree, and it's a lot to do with what's coming down the line with Oslo and the modeling tools that Microsoft are working on, this idea of model-driven development, the idea that the model is the code, That's exactly what happens with an orchestration. The model is the code. You draw the model, and the model is the code. But of course, a lot of this now applies up here as well. Yeah? So it's harder to actually talk about this now. So what is the number one differentiator around BizTalk? And again, bear with me, this has everything to do with useful patterns. The number one differentiator for BizTalk that differentiates it from WCF and WF is that. It's the message box, stupid. WCF does not have a message box. Dublin does not provide it with a message box. BizTalk has a message box. What is a message box? Well, a message box is a set of persisted queues, message queues. And it allows asynchronous interchange of messages. It allows decoupling through all of that. And it's very scalable. And that's about it, really. There's a lot more we could say about the message box and what it actually supports. If you want to make that decision, should I build my service as a BizTalk orchestration service, or should I build it as a WCF service of some kind, or a WF WCF service of some kind, or whatever, that there may be all kinds of things you need to take into consideration to make that decision. But top of your list, the first question you should always ask, and I know this is basic, I mean it to be basic, it is this one basic question. Do I need the message box, yes or no? If the answer is no, then maybe you shouldn't be using BizTalk. I only say maybe because in real life, that sort of decision making is often driven by lots of considerations. Those considerations may be technical. They may be functional, non-functional. They may even be political. You know, I don't want to make the person who spent all that money buying the BizTalk licenses look bad. So we'll better just do something in BizTalk. I've seen that happen. I'm sure some of you have seen that happen as well. Okay. But the number one technical question that you should be asking is very simply, do I need the message box or not? If you don't, consider other technologies as candidates. If you do, then it's probably worth shelling out the money and paying the money on the BizTalk licenses. Well, that sounds rather sort of basic, I mean it to be, but we'll come back to that and use that as a launch pad for looking at useful patterns in one moment. So, sure, most people in the room have heard of Dublin, and of course I'm thinking Dublin in what I've just been saying. Yeah, Dublin is a code name for Microsoft's well, some new tooling that Microsoft is creating. They announced it a couple of months ago now and showed it at the PDC. How many people here, I know, Alan, you were at the PDC, weren't you, I believe, but how many people were at the Professional Developers Conference this year? Okay, that's a good number. I wasn't, unfortunately, so I've been trying to get up to speed with all the presentations online and that kind of stuff. But Dublin, fantastic stuff. Dublin is sitting there, and you know, I blog sometimes, and I wrote an article shortly before the PDC in which I was trying to make this point that BizTalk, you know, still has a role in life. Really, it really, really does, kind of thing. And and try and do that, trying to make that argument. And I believe that argument as well. But, you know, even in my own company, we had about half a dozen people. We had about six people who went to the PDC. And they came back and they walked through the door coming back from the PDC. And the first thing that I got from people there was, Charles, you know, we saw Dublin and it looked just like BizTalk. We saw it on the board. We saw it being demonstrated and it looked just like BizTalk. What are we going to do? You know, all our BizTalk skills are sort of left redundant and that kind of thing. Dublin's probably going to be free. That's what it sounds like. I don't know that for certain. And Microsoft, I don't think, are ready to confirm that as far as I know. But the way they talk about it sounds like it's going to be free, just part of the operating system. BizTalk is not going to be free. You're still going to be paying license fees for that. And Dublin looks and it feels like BizTalk. You've got an administration console thing and you can see suspended stuff in it. And, you know, surely it's just really the same kind of thing. But consider, and this, again, the heart of what I want to get here, and it's a simple message, but I hope it makes some sense. Both Dublin and WCF and all of the goes around Dublin and BizTalk, they are both service orientated. We can have a great debate on how service orientated they are, and you know, whether they could be more service orientated and what service orientated means, but they are both service orientated. The differentiation, more than anything else, the core differentiation, because there are many other differentiations, but the core differentiation is that BizTalk is also message orientated in a way that WCF and Dublin are not. Now, I'm not saying that messages are not important in the WCF world. Of course they are. Contract-driven development and the interchange of messages between web services is absolutely core. Of course it is. But messages are simply not quite the same degree of first-class citizen in the WCF world that they are in the BizTalk world. In BizTalk, they take on a life of their own. They exist beyond service interfaces and services because they get persisted in the message box. And that really, everything else, sort of, from my way of thinking, sort of really just comes from that. It's the message box, stupid. So Microsoft have introduced this shorthand for Dublin and BizTalk. I think it's a shorthand. The history behind this, I'll hazard sort of saying a little bit about behind the scenes stuff. The history from my perspective on this is that for at least a year, Microsoft were talking to, you know, select groups of invited people about their plans with regards to, you know, Oslo and Dublin and all of this kind of stuff. And Alan, who's a friend and fellow MVP and such like, down here has attended some of those same sessions. And many of them just, I won't say they collapsed, but many of them were characterized by some fairly robust arguments about how to explain the difference between BizTalk and Dublin. This was certainly something that was discussed a fair amount. And by the PDC, Microsoft had come up with this approach, and everyone's been debating it. I personally quite like it. I think it's quite useful as long as you realize it's just a shorthand. Dublin is Microsoft's future application server for WCF and WF. It hosts business logic and business processes for use by applications. That must be a correct definition because Wikipedia says so. Yeah? So Dublin is an application server. And what that really means, if you sort of look at that, I know it doesn't say the word service there in Wikipedia, but it means that the service is king. You are hosting services, and that's where the emphasis is. BizTalk is described as Microsoft's integration server. It is so much more than that, of course, and that's what I think some people are tripping over. But, and also, Dublin can be used for integration. So this is not an absolute division, but it's saying that BizTalk is about, and here again, a definition, it facilitates the interaction between diverse systems, technologies, protocols, and it allows stuff to happen across boundaries. That's the emphasis of BizTalk. And it's really quite a different emphasis and goes way beyond an application server. And all of this really centres around the message being king. It's why the message box is so important. So, on to patterns at long last. Thank you for your patience for this first part of the session. And on to patterns. What is, and if we're going to talk about patterns, we have to start with an anti-pattern. What is my top number one most awful pattern of all kind of thing? You know, the most useless orchestration pattern for BizTalk. Well, in this new world, in this brave world of WCF and WF and Dublin, I simply say that it is where you use orchestration in situations where you just don't need the message box. That's the anti-pattern. And I know you may think that, well, that's an awful lot of talk just to get to the beginnings of a glimmer of something about patterns. But patterns are concepts that we can reuse and ideas that we can build on, surely, if they're anything. And so this is the thing I really want to stress right at the beginning. This is the top anti-pattern. Don't use orchestrations, unless there's another good reason for doing so, where they're not needed. Architecture, modern architecture on the Microsoft platform, should, right now, today, before Dublin makes this advent, right now, in terms of what you're doing, should be concentrating, in my view, on gaining that synergy between the WCF world, which is bubbling away and emerging, and WF and all those, all that goodness that's happening at the platform level, and BizTalk, which is a tried, true, trusted, solid enterprise piece of kit that will do message-based stuff for us in a service-orientated fashion. So what's my number one pattern then? If that's my anti-pattern, what's my most useful pattern for orchestrations? You've guessed it, okay? It's using orchestration where the message... I will stop stating this in just a moment. It's using orchestration where the message box really is needed. And I hope I'm getting my message across in actually saying that. Where the message box really is needed. So the question you need to ask yourself as you consider BizTalk and you look at architecture and you think about what you're doing is, what is this message box really giving me? What value is it giving me? What's it all about really? What does it provide for me that is actually useful to what I'm building, what my company needs to achieve, whatever problem it is that you're dealing with? Architecture should promote synergy between BizTalk Server and WCF WF Dublin. So, quiz. Is this a good orchestration pattern? Here is my first pattern here. I hope you can see it. It's not graphics. I apologize. I did rather throw these slides together, as is human nature, a little bit last minute. So I apologize if you can't see this from the back of the room. So let me just talk you through this. This is a bit of a BizTalk orchestration. And in fact, it is a BizTalk orchestration. And we've got a port service with a simple and single port here, which is emitting a message. Okay. Obviously, this subscribes to messages in the BizTalk message box. Fantastic, they're picked up and in they flow, and they're conceptually picked up by this shape here. They're delivered into to the BizTalk orchestration engine, which hands them off to this instance of it, or an instance of this orchestration, and they're received. And then down here we've got an expression shape in our orchestration which does stuff. I don't know what it does, but it does something. It doesn't matter what it does, it does something. There we go. How many people have written an orchestration that follows that pattern? Oh, come on, I've written hundreds of orchestrations that follow that pattern. All my orchestrations look like this, don't I? So there must be people in the room who've written orchestrations that aren't very much more than that. I mean, it may be a bit more than that. Is there no one in the room who's... One or two hands went up. Don't be coy. Right, another show of hands. I'm going to have you put your hands up. How many people have written orchestrations that look like this? Okay, about half of you. There we go. So tell me, is this a good orchestration? Based on what I've just been stressing and talking about and all the basics that I've been going through, is this a good orchestration pattern or not? It's my last attempt to get this message across about the message box. Anyone? Who says yes? Yay! Thank you. Thank you very much. Who says no? Oh, lots of people say no. You think it's a bad orchestration pattern. I say, I can't tell. I can't tell whether that's good or bad. It's good if it's getting advantage from the message box. It's bad if it isn't. Yeah? That's what I'm saying. I have written lots of orchestrations like that. I don't know how many, but I have done. And sometimes they've been bad because I was just using orchestration for the sake of it because I couldn't be bothered to go and write a nice, you know, autonomous service that's nicely reusable and that kind of stuff. Sometimes I really need it because this message that I'm receiving, I really need it to be persisted and managed through the message box for whatever reason. Okay, so good and bad. Neither good nor bad. I don't know. Whichever one you prefer. Wrong direction, Charles. So here we go. You have to start somewhere with patterns. And my first bit of patterns is convoys. How many people are gurus at BizTalk convoys? Oh, go on. Again, you don't need to be coy. You can put your hands up. How many people have knowingly used the convoy pattern or a convoy pattern within BizTalk? Right. How many people have unknowingly used the convoy pattern within BizTalk? So probably everyone's hands should go up then. Convoys are probably the best known of all the orchestration patterns. If you want to read about them, is there going to be some way of people getting these slides after the event? Yeah, fantastic. Okay. So if you've not seen this paper, this is an old 2004 paper on convoys. It came out shortly after BizTalk was launched, and it was one of the first bit of sensible writing about BizTalk and useful bits of documentation about BizTalk 2004 that ever came into the public domain, as it were. And, well, public domain in the sense it was open for the public to read, at least, anyway. So it's on the Microsoft website, and it describes orchestration. It describes convoy patterns. And it's a really good paper because it turns out that these patterns are absolutely some of the most commonly used and useful patterns of all. Is there anyone in the room who has not heard of convoying? I'm just trying to get a gauge of where people are coming from, so please don't be coy. Is anyone not sure? Right, so one or two people. Thank you very much. Brave to admit when to not knowing. That's good, because, you know, I was conscious that some people in the room would be going, oh no, not another session on convoys. And some people would be going, please, Charles, tell us what these convoy things actually are. So bear with me if you're a convoy guru. Used when messages are logically grouped into streams of messages or sets of messages that belong together. That's broadly the idea of it. We could get a lot more sophisticated in the description of convoys, but that will be good enough for our purposes this evening. And BizTalk sort of recognises, if you like, or deals with the two basic dimensions of these sets of messages or streams of messages. It's very, very common that you are dealing with not just a message, a single message that happens to arrive, but with this concept of a whole group of messages that belong in a sequence or just in a big group of messages, and you've got to deal with them in some way. So two dimensions to this: uniformity and sequentiality. Uniformity is all about the message type. Message type is an important aspect of the support for convoys that we've actually got. And the idea there is that if all the messages are of the same type, they're all, I don't know, flat file messages that we've converted to XML, data feeds from some system. They're all following the same approach. They've all got the same kind of content, etc., etc. Then we can think of our convoying patterns as being uniform. And if sequentiality is important, if the fact that a message arrives, then another one, obviously messages always arrive in some sequence, but if we need to essentially maintain that sense of sequence and therefore order between those messages, then we're dealing with sequentiality. Sometimes the order doesn't matter. Or maybe we can't control the order. Putting those two dimensions together gives us four core orchestration patterns. They're only core, sort of foundational patterns, because in real life, our convoy patterns are many and varied within BizTalk. But there are these sort of four patterns that we end up with: uniform sequential, non-uniform sequential, uniform parallel, non-uniform parallel, where I'm using parallel as a BizTalk term here for non-sequential. So let's have a look at the first one, uniform sequential. So there's a very simple representation of a sequential convoy, a convoy of messages that are basically received in sequence. We start the convoy somewhere, and then message after message after message is received. Because this is uniform, the messages are all of the same type. At some point, we get the last message. Come back to that in just a moment, the last message in that sequence, and that's the point at which the convoy ends. That's the basic concept and idea. So here is how you implement it within BizTalk, within a BizTalk orchestration. All you do, basically, is you've got a port, a single port, okay? In this case, it's just a one-way port in this first example here. And, it is a one-way port anyway in terms of this pattern, and we're receiving messages. And we've got a receive shape up here, which we will have set to activate. I'll talk about what that means in a minute for anyone who's not sure. And then we've got another receive shape, another receive shape. And the important thing is, behind the scenes, they're all set up to receive messages of the same type, coming from the same port, because we've got a type defined here. And they are all connected to the same message type of the same operation on the single port. That is the most common core convoying pattern, and it gives us uniform sequentiality. Orchestrations understand that, and when they spot that you've set this up, they kind of adjust their rules and that kind of thing, start giving you messages if something is wrong, talking about convoys. So orchestrations kind of recognize this pattern. All messages share the same type. The orchestration port has a single operation, as we just said. One of the things which people often do is they sort of simplify. Well, maybe they simplify, maybe they make this more complex, by instead of having a whole list of receive shapes, perhaps having only one additional receive shape, which they put in a loop. The point about this is that this is useful in situations where you want to obviously make sure, you know, just keep your orchestration down. It's useful when the size of the convoy varies. And sometimes the convoy might just contain 3 messages. Sometimes it may contain 30. Obviously, you hopefully know how big the convoy is up front, because one of the obvious things about this design pattern is how do you know when the convoy is finished? In the first example I had, the convoy came to an end after that third receive shape, because there were only 3 receive shapes. In this case, we could potentially just keep on going through this loop forever. So how do we know when the convoy comes to an end? Does the convoy ever come to an end? Interesting. Interesting problems to solve. So this shape is used for simplification. It's also used for arbitrarily sized convoys. We may or may not know the size of the convoy up front. And obviously the kind of concerns then are detecting convoy ends. You know, where does the convoy finish? A very, very common way of dealing with the problem of not knowing when a convoy finishes is to use timers. Little caveats coming up there and danger points, but is to use timers. So imagine a situation where you have some feed from some system, regular intervals perhaps, or fairly regular, it's emitting messages. Those messages are being picked up by BizTalk, and the first message that arrives results in a new instance of the orchestration spinning up. And it starts processing, going through this loop. Fine. Do we need to detect the end of that loop, end of that convoy? If we do, how do we know? Very often we don't know. Very often the only way we know that a convoy has come to an end is because we don't get any more messages for a period of time. And that's not a very good way of knowing that something has come to an end, because there could be another reason why we're not getting messages, like something's broken down or whatever it may be. But it happens. And therefore, the way that people normally solve this problem, and it is not without problems itself, but it's a very common pattern, and sometimes you just have to do this, is to use timers, delay shapes. So we've got the same pattern here, but we've introduced a parallel shape here. We've introduced a listen shape. The idea of a listen shape is that it manages race conditions. It's got 2 branches in this case. The branch which wins the race is the one that's first fired by an event. There are 2 events. On this side, we're dealing with an event which is the receipt of the next message in the convoy. Whereas on this side, in this branch, the event is a timer firing. A delay shape with a delay, and after that delay, it fires an event. Whichever one of those 2 events happens first, that's the branch of this listen shape which executes. And then we come down here, we go back through the loop, and we go through this all over again. So the idea is that you could put a delay. Here I've got a delay of 5 minutes. So what this is saying is we'll just carry on receiving messages. But then if we've not received a message for 5 minutes, then this will fire. This will go down this loop here because we'll be waiting for an event to happen. And then we'll set some states down here to exit the loop. We'll set a flag or whatever it may be. So that will break us out of the loop and then we'll continue. Very simple. I'm sure many people in the room have actually created patterns like this. It's very common. Sometimes you have to do this. It's fraught with problems. One problem is beware zombies. Okay, Alan, I seem to recall that you're a zombie king, aren't you, or something? Or I didn't mean that.
I was going to say you're going to talk about zombies now or later.
Well, I'm only going to mention them here and just say that really just as a simple situation of saying great pattern, very common, it's got problems. It's got all kinds of problems. Problems of knowing when a convoy finishes. Problems in this case that you just ultimately cannot avoid all zombies. Now, what are zombies in the BizTalk world? Well, a zombie occurs in a situation where a message is deemed to be in flight. That means that it's been received. BizTalk has looked at the message and said, ah, yes, we can do something with this message, so I'll post it onto the queue. I won't suspend it, I'll put it on the active queue because I've got a subscription for it. So the message goes onto the queue, but it doesn't happen instantaneously because you may not have realised this, but nothing in a computer ever happens instantaneously. Okay? You might not have known that, but you know. So the zombie arrives on the queue. Unfortunately, just before it leaves the queue and goes off to where it was meant to go, the timer fires off. Okay, which means that we've got a message in flight on the queues, but now this branch is never going to fire, and therefore that message is never going to be properly dealt with. And it's effectively, it comes up, you see it, it says, I can't remember what the terminology is now. Delivered, not consumed. Thank you very much. Yes, it's just, well, somebody here knows something about BizTalk. Thank you very much. Delivered, not consumed. So that's the kind of situation. And how you deal with that problem, well, that's the kind of problem that you have to think about. So convoys are great. They are very common. But be aware that as you get more into how you deal with the kind of problems, the kind of issues which appear, there are levels of issues which actually occur. I wish I could give you all the answers, and there are all kinds of different approaches that you can take, but all I can really do for this session is just raise those issues, because the way you sort them out depends so often on the problems that you're trying to solve and the particular process and the needs of that application, and whether you've got somebody who can manually go and sort out the mess in the message box and all kinds of things like that. So moving on, I'm going to talk about non-uniform sequential. The idea of non-uniform sequential convoys, the messages are all of different types. Very simple. They're all of different types, and you might have messages which are actually within there which are of the same type. I've got message 5 and message 1 here, they're both of the same type, but broadly speaking the messages are of different types. And there's how we deal with that. The important thing here is that the pattern still requires a single port. So that's the idea here. If you have multiple ports, you won't get convoying. And I'm going to talk about convoying in a little bit more depth underneath the covers in a moment. But you do get, you just get sort of normal, well, just normal receive shapes and ports. If you connect everything up to a single port, then you start to be able to deal with convoying of non-uniform message types. Many beginners at BizTalk don't realize that a port can have multiple operations, but if you click on it, there's the option to create new operations. And there's one or two other bits and pieces there as well, but that's what we'll talk about this evening. So here we've got three operations, and there's some tie-up there really with the kind of concepts you get in WSDL, actually, where you can do something rather similar. And we've got three operations, and they're each dealing with different types of message. So in they come to these three receive shapes. And of course, it may occasionally be that within this we might have, you know, a sequence of three messages of the same type, so we might handle that with a loop, that kind of thing. But generally speaking, you don't, just because of the nature of dealing with multiple messages, normally you're in a better situation with regards to knowing where a convoy ends and how big it is and that kind of thing, typically, not always. So, you know, this is only a beginning of a pattern. Loops are generally not needed, okay, because generally different message types must be received in the correct order. Notice one point there. One of the many problems with convoying, especially a non-uniform sequential convoy like this, the messages must arrive in the message box in the correct order. If message 3 is enqueued before message 2, BizTalk will try to deliver it before message 2, and that will conflict with the orchestration and where it's got to in the process. So it's waiting for a message 2. In fact, we've got a message 3 waiting. So you've got problems there, and one of the things this often raises is the total ordering of messages. There's an option in BizTalk, which you can switch on in an orchestration, to read the messages off the queue on a single thread, And it's just an option you can switch on there, order delivery. And if you do that, the orchestration will read the messages in the order strictly they arrive on the queue, and it won't read them on different threads and therefore deliver them in different orders, but they've got to be in the right order on the queue in the first place. And that sometimes depends on the adapter you're using. You might have to build stuff into your pipelines. Oh boy, it can depend on all kinds of things beyond BizTalk, because they may be being delivered out of order. Nothing to do with BizTalk in the first place. So lots of problems that can actually occur. So here are some non-sequential concerns, some concerns with regards to non-sequential convoys, convoys where the sequence isn't so important. What if the convoy can optionally be started by one of several different types of message? What happens if you say, if I get one of those messages, one of those or one of those, I want to start off this convoy? Sometimes it happens. What if those convoy messages do arrive out of order and you need to deal with that? Well, maybe you can use the next patterns. And next patterns are parallel patterns. There are two of them, but I'll just put them on one slide here. The idea that you start your convoy, but your convoy does not dictate the sequence anymore. So maybe any one of these messages might be the first message to arrive. Whichever one arrives first, that will start the convoy. And then whatever order they arrive, they're processed. So we can think of them all as sort of peers, and the convoy doesn't finish until all three messages have been received and processed, whatever order they arrive in. This is broadly how you set this up within BizTalk orchestration. And in this case, you do use a parallel shape. Get it right this time, parallel shape. A parallel shape is an interesting shape when you really dig down beneath the covers a little bit. Everyone who's new to BizTalk thinks that it's a multi-threaded shape. Okay, everyone thinks that you get three threads. Yeah, you might do. It is possible that you might get three threads. In most cases, these are actually processed by a single thread in sequence, believe it or not. In this case, because it's almost like events and race conditions, goodness knows what happens behind the scenes. But they're quite interesting shapes behind the scenes. The important thing is that with all the smarts that lie behind this, whichever message arrives first, that will start the convoy. Typically, this is used at the top of an orchestration, and each of these receive shapes is set to activate, to be an activate shape. Only one of them is used to activate the orchestration, and that, of course, corresponds to whichever of the messages that these stand for is received first. The other thing to notice is that in this case, they're not necessarily on the same port. They're on different ports in that situation. There is a uniform parallel model, but it's not very useful, generally speaking. I'm not sure I've ever used it, but it is possible to be in a situation where the message type that you get is the same message type in each case, and you use something else to differentiate the message, a filter or something like that, so that perhaps they're three messages of the same type, but coming from different places, subscribing on different, or being received on different receive locations and whatever it may be. So, the least common of the convoy patterns, but sometimes, no doubt, is used. Well, I want to say just a little bit more about convoying. What time did we start? Right. Can I just go for another couple of minutes, and then we'll have a break? And that's good, actually, because that gets me, I think, about sort of halfway through everything I've got to say. But anyway, there we go. So, convoy. Which is more fundamental? Pop quiz again. Which is more fundamental in BizTalk? All of you have used orchestration, you've come across correlation, yeah? Correlation sets and that kind of stuff. Which is more fundamental in BizTalk, correlation or convoying? Which is a more fundamental mechanism? Correlation. Correlation is more fundamental, and convoying is built on top of that, yeah? Yeah? Wrong. Yes, thank you so much, I love it. It worked. I'm so pleased. It's a kind of trick question. Actually, convoying, and it came as a surprise to me when I realized this, convoying is by far and away the more fundamental mechanism in comparison with orchestration correlation in the large. But it's not quite as simple as that, actually. Convoying is built into the message box. In fact, all it is correlation done at the message box level. That's all it is. in the message box, they've actually got an idea. I love this. You can see this from table names. They've got this idea. I think I've got it down here, haven't I? Of a convoy set. Does it say convoy set there? No, it doesn't. It must say that on the next slide there. But they've got the idea of a convoy set. And all a convoy set is a correlation set, but not in an orchestration, in the message box, in a table. It's literally tables in the message box which hold that information. It's a message box thing. Much more importantly than that, and actually that paper that I mentioned, I noticed just rereading it after many years, made this point quite well. Convoying is a fundamental set of message exchange patterns, message interchange patterns. So it's a really important part, and really all the way around it is more fundamental. And actually the other point I wanted to make from that, just very briefly, is that all orchestration does, I know I've got this on another, oh yes, I do have this here, all orchestration does is to provide a sort of bigger view of correlation, but then when you set up those patterns, it just sort of supports the more fundamental convoy mechanism using its orchestration correlation approach. Yeah? So the orchestration is kind of just supporting at that point the more fundamental mechanisms of correlation built into the message box, and then it adds on to that as well. So it's the other way around. Convoying is all to do with activate subscriptions. I just want to say a few things about this, and I'll let you go for a cup of coffee. Activate subscriptions. When a message is received into the message box, the message box has a subscription table. It's a SQL Server database. There's a subscription table. And in that table, subscriptions, during the lifetime of a BizTalk application, subscriptions are constantly being created and removed, But there are generally some subscriptions which remain permanently in that table. Now, there's a bunch of different types of subscription, but the most important ones are activate subscriptions. They are subscriptions which are created up front, and they wait for a particular message that obeys a particular set of criteria to arrive, and then their job, if you like, well, the subscription is just some data in the database, but BizTalk uses that to start a new instance of something. Okay, which is normally a new instance of an orchestration, or indeed, basically starts a send port. Well, it starts a send port. That's not a good way of putting it, but it can be used in other places. But mainly, from our point of view, activating an orchestration. Those subscriptions, which are marked as activate, they can be, if you like, parameterized with convoy sets. And behind the subscription table, there's a couple of other tables, and they deal with these convoy sets. And a convoy set, and that is the term that's used, is really just a correlation set. That's all it is. It's a little bit limited because it's a correlation set, sure, but it's built into the subscription system rather than the orchestration. And it has literally, in the table, there are three columns, yeah, three fields, for storing up to three values in that convoy set, that correlation set that we call the convoy set. That's why when you're doing the convoy patterns, as some of you will know, when you create an orchestration correlation set, you can only ever have, in the context of convoying, mysteriously, three properties that it lists. Some of you will understand that. I will say a bit more about that. And that's why, because literally they're just those three columns in the table. Okay? And that's what's actually going on there. Okay, and as I say, one-time delivery when you're using these convoy sets is generally required, because if you deliver the same message more than once, you're probably going to get into problems. You're in risk of zombies and all kinds of horrible things like that. And order delivery is often needed. Right, okay, so I think we'll stop there. That's actually very good, because that's quite a nice... I was wondering where I was going to stop for this first half. We'll go and get a cup of coffee. And we'll come back. When we come back, I'm going to carry on, but go into essentially looking at common problems and how to solve them. So the kind of patterns that you use again and again to solve the trickier problems. I've kept them pretty simple and straightforward, more the sort of high-level headlines, the things to hopefully point you in the right direction if you're sort of new to this, but we'll talk around that and go through it. Once I've gone through some of that stuff, I'm going to sort of push the boat out a little bit, still pretty straightforward stuff, but talk a little bit about some sort of broader patterns about how orchestrations can be used in the large and mapped to logical views of how your application works and things like that. And I want to finish off by my favourite subject currently, talking a little bit about service bus patterns and how orchestrations fit into service bus patterns.